Terry there, although they have a pretty good ministry going in Romania as well, and you'll see all that tonight. But John and Elva have had an interesting relationship to Maranatha in that they were the first missionaries we ever supported and still are. And so when Dwayne and Dalen came along, it was like, of course. And they actually didn't meet our missions policy right. And so we said, well, maybe we can make an exception because we know who they are and what they are. And there's just not a whole lot of debate about this. And so we have supported both members of the family. And so we have enjoyed them. It was special to me, too, when I first came here back in 92. Decided that the first 2 weeks I'd prefer not to preach to give me a chance to get my books unpacked and be able to find my desk, unburden it of all the boxes and everything. And so John happened to be free then and was able to preach the 2 Sundays that I was first here so that I could get unearthed. And that was a very special blessing, and I'm very thankful for it. So, brother, you come now and... by the way, both of the guys in the evening had a 2-hour time limit. So I originally told them an hour and a half, and they both bumped it up to 2. So fortunately, neither one of them actually did it. So
God is good all the time. 2 hours. Wow. It's great to be here. It's great to see you. And we thank God. We are enjoying moving into our 40th year of ministry and knowing that Maranatha has been with us all along that time. What a great, wonderful relationship we have shared with Maranatha. We're deeply appreciative of God's grace and God's goodness, seeing what God does there. And we know that through the experiences that we go through, that there's ups and downs, there's turns and events and things like this that occur. And I was thinking, as Pastor Hole mentioned about this being, if this were my last message, what would I say in relationship to that? And I thought about our ministry over the 40 years that we had, and one thing kept coming back to me. That was, in all the experiences I've had, it related to choices I've made, either good or bad. But out of those choices, God revealed himself to me in different and unique ways. I recall very clearly right after we came off our first furlough of going to the States. We left in 76 and came back in 80 and or 70, excuse me, we went on our first furlough in 80 and came back. And we had a church when we left that was around 65 people coming. And when we got back, there were 8 people there. And whoa, you talk about a turning of my mind. I evaluated this, looking at my circumstances, and said, God, that's it. I'm a failure. I might as well pack it up and go home. Wrote out my resignation paper. Had my wife read it so she'd know where my mind was at. And then called Pastor Bill and talked with him. And was really, really down. Really, really thought that. But God has unique things in those points. And God was simply asking a very personal question to me as a laborer. He is saying, John, what's this all about? Who's building the church? You or me? Who's doing the work? You or me? Who's in charge? You or me? And those were very challenging thoughts from God to my mind. And I realized that all that I built in my first term was I built. It was a work of me for God, but it had no power. And I realized that I need to change. It's interesting that there's a statement made by Hudson Taylor. And he says he's the founder of China Inland Mission. And he knew the secret of strength through weakness. He said, complimented once by a friend on the impact of missions, Hudson answered, "It seemed to me that God looked over the whole world to find a man who was weak enough that he could use to do his work. And when he at last found me, he said, 'He's weak enough. He'll do.' All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them. Have we learned the secret of abandoning our utterly inadequate self-sufficiency in order to draw on the resources of God's unlimited power?" And that's where God met me. I realized that all that work that I had put, it was really I. It was my sufficiency. And God brought me up and said, "Are you ready to turn things over? Are you ready to let me take charge? Are you ready to let me build my church? Are you ready to be the take on my sufficiency instead of your sufficiency?" Well, I made that exchange with God just like I made the exchange when I got saved. And God kept me on the field. There's a major problem in our missions throughout the years, and that is first-time missionaries that are on the field often leave the field after their first term on the field and never return. God, in his great grace, was gracious enough to open my eyes and realize my problem and help me to come to a place of humility and surrender and say, "Okay, God, I need you. If you're going to build it, it's yours to build. So, God, I'm waiting for you to build it." Now, when you come to a place like that, as I did back then, I begin to say, "Okay, I'm going to sit back and watch you do it, God. Watch you do it." Nothing happened. You say, "Wait a minute. I thought we had a deal here, God. I was going to surrender and let you do it, and all that was going to happen." And that was back in February of 80. Came March of 80, no change, church was still down, nothing was happening. Came April of 80, nothing, no change, nothing happened, still down. I'm thinking, "God, you know, I said that if it doesn't happen by May, I'm out of here. I'm going back. This is it. God must have just chuckled a little bit up there in heaven. Said, "Yeah, right, John, I got your number." And come June, he just opened the door, and he did the job. People just begin coming in, coming in, coming in. Why'd God do it that way? Because he knew I was a proud critter. It had to learn how to be humble. I had to learn to depend on him. And without that instruction, without that breaking down in my life, I would never made it. And then not only to learn that, but he taught me something else. God truly is able. Amen? I mean, God is just so able, so ready, so able to do it there. And he did it and encouraged us. And we've been on the field ever since. Now, there come another time, beloved, in that time frame, in 2000, when we've been on the field since 76 and the Persian Gulf War starting up, and all of a sudden they're saying, we're going to empty your base. We're going to close your post that you're working at. Everybody's going." And I'm thinking, "God, we just took on a big building, and we just took on more money, and we just invested, and we just did all this, and you're going to close the base?" So, what do I have to do? Humble myself. Say, "God, you're right all the time. Teach me to walk after you. Teach me to walk in your steps." And I came to that place where it was a new perspective God wanted to give to me. And that is, I had to ask this question. Why am I really here? Does God really have purpose in life? Does God have purpose for your life? Does God have purpose for my life? Does God have a purpose for the existence of Maranatha Baptist Church? Did God have a purpose for the existence of High Point Baptist Church? And the answer is amen and amen. Because God is a purpose-driven God. Look what he says to the woman at the well, or to his disciples. Note this in chapter 4. He says to them, after this, there was, He says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, nor disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is in Sychar, near the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour there. There's a statement there that he puts into that. He says, I must needs go by the way of Samaria. You see, Samaritans and Jews did not get along together. Samaritans were defined as half-breeds or ones that intermarried with the Greeks, and the Orthodox Jew would have no part with it. So they'd cross over the other side of Jordan, go up that side until they came to the province of Galilee, and then cross back into the province of Galilee. But Jesus said, I must needs go by the way of Samaria. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever taken you out of your comfort zone for a very distinct purpose that he has people or a need to meet? And he moves you out of that comfort zone because he's in it. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe America is living in a very discomforted zone right now. I believe with the increase of Muslims and the ones that are coming from Syria and all this into America is creating a tremendous agitation. We don't know what to do. Also, Merkel in Germany said we'll take a million Assyrians that are coming through. Boy, did that create a situation in Europe. It created it because in order to get to Germany, they had to either come through Macedonia and Turkey, and or Turkey and Macedonia, or Italy and up through through Austria to get to Germany, or they had to go through Hungary, and it just backed up the borders, and the borders had no control. They didn't know what to do with them. They couldn't get them registered. They said, "We don't want to be registered here. We want to move on. We're going to Germany. Just let us go. Open the borders. We're going to go," and it created tremendous that. And then they make it to the German border, and the German border has its controls as well. And you know, if you know Germany or know Germans, they're very organized people. And so they set up a very set pattern for them as they come in. And we'll do more with that tonight. If you come back tonight, I'll share more of the details of that and the outcome of that and what we projected outcome of that as we look at it there. But could it be that God is bringing us a people that we did not reach or did not want to reach or could not reach? And so he simply brought them in to us. He says, now reach out to them. But now we have a fear factor. It says, oh, no, I'm not going to get near them. I don't trust them. I'm not going to get near them. And God says, if I go before you or go with you, will you go with me? And we have to take and evaluate that in light of God's word. Here, Jesus went to Samaria and to Sychar. And the disciples, they said, okay, he's at the well, we're going to go buy meat, because there's no store downtown, no McDonald's, nothing in the area. So we're going to go to the village and buy food and bring it back, the provisions back. But for Jesus, it was a divine appointment. Let me ask you another question. How many of you believe in divine appointments? I happen to believe in that. I happen to believe that Jesus Christ was so interested in my life that he brought a friend alongside to tell me about him. That's a divine appointment. I happen to believe that when God brought Elva and I together, that was a divine appointment. They entered into a marriage covenant relationship for there. I believe that when God brings people, military people, into our area over there, it's divine opportunities, divine appointments to share Christ with them. This woman at the well did not expect Jesus, a Jew, to be at the well. And she says so. Look what she says in chapter 4. And so she says, there cometh a woman, verse 7, of Samaria, to draw water. She said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, can I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his cattle and children. Jesus said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well water springing up to everlasting life. The woman's response in verse 15, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. He offered her living water. The living water that he offered her was the gift of life, eternal life, through him. And she was ready to receive that gift. If you have talked to people about the Lord, and you should be, the point of this is, here are people. Jesus has a compassion. Jesus' purpose statement in Luke 10 says, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. Question. Do I have the heart of God in me? Do I have the love of God in me? Do I have the vision of God in me? Do I really care about the lost the way Jesus cares about the lost? What compassion do I reach out every morning? Do I get up and do I pray, God, give me a divine appointment? God, help me to meet somebody today to share Christ with. God, energize my life. Help me to be in the Word of God in such a manner that when I go out, that Word of God can be used by the Spirit of God to speak to some man or some woman or some child about Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. Why are you here? Why do you exist? What is your purpose in life? That's the question you have to answer this morning. What is your purpose in life? Now, I tell our soldiers, if God's purpose is for you to be a soldier, then you be the best soldier you can be, but be the best soldier for God. Because the greater purpose, whether they go to Afghanistan or whether they go to Iraq or whether they go next door or whether they go to Germans, is they are soldiers for the Lord. Number one priority in their soldier life is that they will be a witness for their comrades. Is that they will stand so that the other soldier to them, whose life may depend on them, knows that they know Christ and has the opportunity to share the reality. If you face death, I can give you the answer to life. Would you be ready to receive life? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that these soldiers, their mission is set by the army, but God's mission is set by him. And he takes every Christian soldier, whether it's a man or a woman, and he says, all right, when I send you out, just remember, as I send you out, you are my messenger. I want you to be ready to proclaim my word to your fellow comrades, to whosoever I send you to. So that comes down to the question for us. Are you ready? Why did Jesus Christ go by the way of Samaria? Jews didn't do that. Why did he do it? Because God the Father said to God the Son, there's a lady in Sychar. You need to meet her at the well. And so he says, disciples, I must needs go to Samaria. And he went through Samaria, came to Sychar, wearied, he sat at the well. At the sixth hour, here comes this woman out to get drink from the well. Wow. You see, when you walk with the Lord, follow the Lord, God sets up the whole thing, and he never leaves you, and he gives you the words to speak. What a great, great reality factor that is for that. So let's go down through. So he comes down, his disciples now come back. And as they come back, they see him speaking to the woman at the well there. And so he says, in the meantime, verse 31, disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said to them, I have meat to eat that you do not know of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father of him that sent me and to finish his work. All right, let's stop here just a minute. The word meat is the very essence. It's the very nourishment. God was saying, my very source of life, my very nourishment, my very essence for living is to do the will of the Father and to finish the work he's called me to do. So you have a purpose to me, right, Lord? Yeah, I came into the world to save sinners. But more than that, more than just sinners, I came to do the will of my Father. I came to glorify him. I glorify him by finishing the work he's called me to do. We've been we're in our 40th year of ministry in Germany. And back in 2000, I thought, God, wait a minute. I've been here since 76. It's now 2000. I'm tired. I want a change of ministry. I'd like to go back to the States, find a small country church, because I was raised in upstate New York. Just give me a dairy farmer church, and I'll go there and finish my ministry out with them. God, that's what I'd like to do. I'm tired of babysitting all the children. After all, when you work with young adults all the time, especially U.S. military, which range from 19 years old to 30 to 40 years old, you're in a very popular time period, especially if you're in deployment, when there's many children that are being produced. And you have a big, big nursery and a big, big Sunday school or junior church for that. And sometimes you say, I'm just tired of this. God, I want to change. I'd like to go to Maranatha. And God says, you go back. So I went back. And I actively sought, talked with Pastor Bill, talked with churches, went to different churches that we were supporting, asked if there's any churches that needed a pastor, like that. Nothing available, John. Okay, God says, you ready to come back? So I ended up going back. But for about a year in my ministry, I battled that. I said, God, why? I'm just tired, God. I want change. And God says, if you would stop whining and complaining and be patient, I will bring you change. But I will bring it my way. Wow, what a lesson to learn. The most unexpected happened. God says, I'm not going to move you, but I am going to move somebody in to help you. And so he brought our youngest son, Dwayne and Dale Lynn, to Germany in 2004. And in 2005, we have a change of command. And I took a shepherd's staff, you'll see it tonight in the slides, and I passed it to my son, and he became the chief shepherd, not the chief shepherd, Christ's chief shepherd, amen? But he became now the lead shepherd over High Point Baptist Church. And God says, what do you think, son? Did he do a good job? I go, amen, Lord, you did a wonderful job. How I am no longer complaining. I'm no longer whining. I'm no longer this. Let me just serve. If you want me to serve, I'll continue to serve here alongside of him. And that's what God has done since 2004 there. Say, what's the deal? The deal is this. I learned that God has a purpose for our lives. And I learned that that purpose was simply to follow him. He said to his disciples when he picked them up at the Sea of Galilee, follow me. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. So as we begin to follow him, God says, no, John, I have a new ministry for you. I'm not going to take the old one away from you, but I have a new ministry for you. I'm going to take you into Romania. I'm going to show you a people that need the word of God. I want you to go there and train pastors. I want you to go there and build churches. I want you to go there and reach children for Jesus Christ. Would you and Alva be ready to go if I say go? And so we came to a place where we said, okay, Lord, we'd be ready to go. And so the last 20 years, God has been working that extended ministry in our lives. Say, what's God doing? Well, he's building churches, saving souls, reaching children for Jesus Christ. And you'll see that tonight if you'll come back there. But it had to come to what? God, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for my life. What was the purpose? Look what he says to his disciples. So Jesus said to them in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not you, there are yet 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look unto the fields, they are white already to harvest. He that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal. He that soweth and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one sows, another reaps. I send you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you have entered in to their labor. Let me ask you a question. How concerned do you think God is about our world? How concerned do you think God is about America? How concerned do you think God is about the churches in America? Are we giving our best to the Master? God gave a commission to the Church of Jesus Christ. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have given you, and lo, I am with you always. When you leave and you go home and you're in your neighborhood, as you're in that neighborhood, ask this question, God, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Is it just to enjoy? Or are there people that need the Lord? And if there are, and I'm sure there are, the next question you have to ask is, go, God, help me, be with me, make me your messenger. And God says, amen. God delights it when we come to a place of surrender. God, it delights when we put on spiritual vision, spiritual glasses that see people the way he sees people. I think God weeps. I think God weeps over America. I think that we have digressed so far from God and America, from all I read, and I'm reading from the European side, that we have digressed so far. And God is saying, oh, if I could get my people to pray, and if I could get my people to go, and if I could get my people to surrender, it's not about your strength. It's not about your vision. It's about Him. And just like Hudson Taylor said, God looked for a weak person. And He saw Hudson Taylor. He said, now there's somebody I could use. He looks weak enough. I'll use him. Because in his weakness, I will be the strong one. I can tell you with all sincerity that I've been on both sides of that fence. I can tell you that there's times when I have been the one in charge. And I have been strong. And I have been wrestled and I've worked and worked and worked and worked. And little has come out of it. And then I humble myself and I say, God, forgive me. It is your church. You build your church. I take it and surrender it back to you. God, use me as a vessel in your hand to build your church. God says, amen, John. Glad you got it right again. Praise God, you're back in line again. Let's go. And what comes out of that? Well, we work in Awanas. We work in Romania. We work in Germany. We work with children. We work with adults. We work with counseling. We work with in several different areas. But our greatest blessing, God brought co-laborers to us. My son Dwayne was born in Germany. And now I can hardly think that, Pastor, 14 years already, he's led the ministry of High Point Baptist Church. 12 years? My honey, she's a mathematician. She gets it right. Thanks. So, you're at a new beginning. You ought to be excited. New beginnings are great opportunities. Great to see what God can do. God delights to take that which is small and build. You're in new beginnings. And I pray that you have God's vision, God's heart, and see God do something in this place because you made a choice that said, I will follow Jesus. I will follow him by allowing his spirit to direct my steps, direct my voice, direct my walk, direct where I want to go. And you ought to have a prayer list that says, I am going to pray. And I write down people, my neighbors, friends, relatives, families on it, employer friends, work friends, comrades, write them down. We have one right now I asked you would pray for, and that's Christian and Birgit there. We had talked to them about the Lord. And they both made a profession of faith, but it is not complete. And so we're still praying for them that they'll have good understanding of grace there. So we appreciate your prayer for that. What's the conclusion of the matter? The conclusion of the matter is a God-directed heart and mind. We have a God-directed ministry, purpose statement. Why am I here? Let me stop here just a minute. I'm about ready to close. So what is life about to you? If you were, God were to have you write out on a little piece of paper, why do I exist? Why am I alive? What is my purpose in life? What would you write? I want you to think about that this afternoon. Put it down because I'll ask again tonight if you've done it. Because God is a purpose-driven God. And he wants us to be used in that way. And so it comes down to the heart. Who am I trusting in? If God then trusts him to do his work through you by acknowledging him. If myself then stop leaning on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is ones that I had remembered. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. And what that simply is saying is, I am no longer going to trust in my thought, my mind. I am going to trust in the Lord and allow him to direct my steps. That's a first step. Remember, it is a heart issue. How do I renew a ministry? I begin by becoming a sanctuary. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. I just missed the last one. Let's pray.